Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
It's so awesome to be in New York. This is where I live. This is my home. I love it here. Thank you. You're very impressed. I was walking on the street the other day, and I saw a woman fall on the street. She was totally fine. We can laugh about it. And she was walking towards me, and she tripped and she fell, but there was nothing in front of her. And it looked like she knew she was going to trip before she did. She was walking, and she was like, oh no. And this is how jaded I am as a New Yorker. When she fell, my first reaction, I swear to God, was, this woman is trying to rob me. 100%. I was like, I know how this works. She pretends to fall. I reach down to help her. She takes my wallet. A gypsy drives up on a Vespa, steals my baby. So I helped her, but from like 3 feet away. I was like, here, give me your hand. Let me see both your hands.
I remember one time she got me so mad, we got into a fist fight. We actually got into a fist fight. I'm gonna tell you something. You know how you know when you lost a fight to your woman? When the cops come to your house and ask you, do you want to press charges? That's how you know it didn't go like you planned, you know. Because the cop came and he was so worried. He's like, oh my God, who would do... Listen, sir, are you okay? Do you want to press charges? And I was like, well, you need to be asking her that. He's like, well, from the looks of things, no, I don't, okay? Look at your face, for crying out loud. And she was in the background like, yeah, look at his face. Tori beat his ass, didn't she? You know, that threw the cop off. He's like, well, who the hell is Tori and how many of them is it? And I was like, well, sir, that's her. She talks in the third person from time to time. You know? He was like, look, let me tell you something, all right? You are a grown little man, okay? Nobody should put their hands on you like this. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't press charges, she's going to be back on the streets doing the same damn thing again. Now, sir, we need her off the streets. For God's sakes, look at your face, please. And I was like, well, if it's that bad, I guess I should press charges, you know? And he was like, look, do you got a place where you can stay tonight? And I said, well, I can go with my mom if I need to. He was like, well, good, good. Matter of fact, you need to go pack a bag. I'm going to walk with you to make sure she don't attack you again. And she got mad. She's like, oh, y'all gonna arrest Tori? Huh? Y'all just gonna put Tori in jail? Why would you do that, Kevin? And I was like, why? Why? Because I'm a grown little man, according to Officer Jones. For God's sakes, look at my face!
You just heard Kevin Hart, and you can catch Heart of the City Friday nights on Comedy Central.
Woo!
And you also just heard Colin Jost with his bit Jaded New Yorker from John Oliver's New York Stand-Up Show. What a good show that was, John Oliver's New York Stand-Up Show.
Yeah, really good.
I wasn't a part of the Comedy Central team yet, so I never did it.
I wasn't a part of the Comedy Central team either, but I was there when Colin Jost recorded that. I remember very well at like Webster Hall or something. And I remember, this is such a non-story, but I remember he asked for a bottle of water from the bartender.
Right.
And she gave him one, and he's like, can I have one that's not cold?
Interesting, because he knows that drinking cold water gives you tummy aches.
Does it?
By the way, this is Stand Up with Chris Stefano and Nicole Boyce and Comedy Central Chloe.
Hello.
Welcome. And Colin Jost is from Staten Island, even though he went to Harvard. But the thing is, when you're from, because like most people from Staten Island, like, they're just like your garbage men, your firemen, your cops. You know what I mean? That's Staten Island, the borough of Staten Island, New York City. 90% of the active mafia, the FBI believes, lives on Staten Island.
Really?
Pushed over the Verrazano Bridge onto Staten Island. It used to be a garbage dump that you could see from outer space. Like, legit, you could see the dump. Astronauts could see it from outer space if you believe that the Earth's not flat.
which, on this podcast, we do not.
Which we do not. We're not flat earthers. But we do support flat earthers listening to our podcast. Shout out.
Flat earthers, we love you.
Give us five stars. Rate, review it. Flat earth or not, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, we don't know. The science isn't... It doesn't matter. It could be flat.
But there's Colin Jost, because he is from Staten Island, and he's, even though he's very articulate, he definitely said, he didn't say it the way Chloe said it. He didn't say, can I have a water and make sure it's warm? He said, can I have water? That's what he said. He said, can I have water? Because that's how a kid from Staten Island, from New York City, will say, they'll never say water. It's the water.
Why
can I have
that?
Water?
Why?
Because the truth is, do you actually want to know, Nicole, what it fucking really is?
Yeah.
You ready for right now?
Yeah.
Right now there's a little crossover between History Hyenas and Stand Up with Chris Stefano.
Tell me about the world, Chris.
Both my podcasts, check them out. Also, Come to Brazil.
Yeah.
Check it out. Also, shout out Gail's Backyard Honey.
Woo!
Chloe's mom's honey.
Number one honey in the world.
Find Gail's Backyard somewhere in the United States. The reason, New York accents.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Philadelphia accents and Boston accents. Really, okay. The Boston accent more than the New York accent are the accents that are derived directly from when English settlers, British settlers, came to the United States in the 1700s, late 1600s, early 1700s from England and started living here and creating their own new accent. Most likely in 1776 when we were fighting the Revolutionary War for our independence.
Shout out Revolutionary War.
Shout out Revolutionary War. Shout out George Washington. Shout out Paul Revere. Shout out. They most likely sounded like what New York and Boston accents sound like. So they probably were saying like, yo, the British are coming up over the water.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
I had no idea.
It's true. Ben Franklin.
Yeah. Ben Franklin did it.
Ben Franklin may have sounded dumber than you think.
Mm-hmm. I watched Frasier recently. Like,
love it.
All of it. Love it. Love Frasier. Also, again, I'm Chrissy Tangents. I just found out about Kelsey Grammer's like dark sordid history. Do you guys know?
Oh shit! Yeah,
he's like really messed up. Anyway, yeah. Frasier has that like sort of mid-Atlantic accent,
mm-hmm.
and I fell into a rabbit hole of reading about what the fuck that accent is. And it was originated by Katharine Hepburn, and it's no one ever really talked like that. It's like a totally made up movie voice. That sort of like
right.
It's like the movie voice, right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
The it's kind like, of like affectation exist. Of your kind of like, and today on Stand Up with Chris.
Do you know Jemima Kirk? Her accent is totally made up.
Whoa.
Really?
Like her sister just doesn't have an accent, and she talks about it on like some late night show or something like that. She just like decided to talk. She's like from like Utah or whatever. She talks like she's British.
The coolest thing I've ever seen. Number one, last night I watched I Feel Pretty for the first time with Amy Schumer. I thought it was great.
I loved it.
Amy makes me laugh like as a movie person. Like I laugh so much at her comedic acting. I love it. But Rory Scovel, who plays her love interest, I saw this once. It was at Gotham Comedy Club and he was headlining three shows. And I saw
Good
him come out on the 7 o'clock show. I mean, I was the opener, so I saw this happen. I saw him come out, do the 7 o'clock show as Rory Scovel. Like, Scovel, he's Rory Scovel, whatever. Just speaks. The second show, the same exact material, full German accent.
Wow.
Like a full. Like your height, like coming out, like welcome to my show. Doesn't say that he's from Germany. Doesn't say anything. The third show, full Southern accent, like Southern drawl. The same material. Doesn't tell the crowd once. Doesn't tell us. Doesn't even mention it. Just goes up and does it. My head was going to explode.
Imagine if that was like they were cutting that into a special and you just had different jokes with just completely.
That would be
really
great.
Funny.
It's like
really, I can't recommend this strongly enough. I don't know if you guys have seen John Doerr and Rory Scovel perform together on Conan. Incredible.
You ever seen that, Nicole?
No, I haven't seen it.
You have to watch it. It's
so good. So this happened 5 years ago before you were born.
Yeah.
And what happened is it was so hilarious. Conan comes out and he's like, I accidentally booked two comedians, John Doerr and Rory Scovel.
Oh, I've heard about
this. So you saw this.
Yeah.
And he says, you know what? I'm just going to give them both a chance.
So good.
I'm going to let them come out. And, you know, he's setting it up as they're going to, one's going to go and the other's going to go. But they do their acts at the same exact time.
Yeah.
Fully committed. At one point, I think it's John Doerr breaks the guitar.
It's just so good.
I can't find it online anymore.
I'll find it and send it to you. Also, here's the constitutional plug. So John Doerr, Big Questions, Huge Answers. You guys should check that special out online.
Not to be confused with Stupid Questions on Comedy Central.
Yes. And then Rory Scovel, we're filming a show right now with him called Robbie. It's a really cool.
And it's getting picked up.
Yeah. It's a really cool show, narrative show, starring Beau Bridges.
Like a scripted show.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah.
Filming right now in Atlanta.
Rory Scovel's one of those guys, like he's so uber talented. And he's one of those guys where it's like he should be, and he will be, and he already is a very well known, but like he's the one that should be like, a fucking star. Like sometimes like now, because the internet has opened up so many things with comedy, you can easily say, oh, how is this person famous? They don't have talent or whatever. Where it used to be like, it was undeniable. Anybody who was on TV, the talent was undeniable. They were the funniest person in their state, right? Not everybody wasn't a comedian. Rory Scovel is from, Rory Scovel is just so undeniably funny and talented, where you're like, when you see him, you're like, okay, this is a person that I pay money to see. Like, he's not, he's just funny. He has no tricks.
Here's a cool thing that we can do on this podcast that no one else can do.
Yes.
So today's clips are people that are going to be appearing at Clusterfest in San Francisco, June 21st.
Yes.
We weren't planning on playing Rory Scovel today, but he is going to be at Clusterfest.
Okay.
Let's play some fucking Rory Scovel.
Yes, I second that decision. Clip from Rory Scovel. Can we do
all
it?
All right, yeah. Okay,
roll it.
Okay, pulling up clip from Rory Scovel, and I'm also going to play some Langston Kerman because he's also going to be at Clusterfest.
Fucking nice. Cutes.
Oh, goodness. Look at this. What are we doing? We're into it. Here we are. You guys came out. Good. Good. Good stuff this side. You guys showed up. Thank you. Oh, goodness. Oh, this is fun already. Already it's fun. Who's already changed the channel? Like, nah. You know what? Nah. Nah, I thought for a second maybe that channel. Not that channel now. Nah, I went into it thinking that was the channel. I was wrong. I was way wrong. They changed the channel, but come back, and I'm just, and then who's over here? Oh, gosh! God, I gotta remember to do that at the end, just in case that someone goes, hey, flip back and see how he closes, and then you're over here! Okay! But you guys are laughing. People at home think you're crazy. Who is in that audience? What does he have? He's got nothing! Flew in. Do not like to fly. And I tell my friends, oh, you're afraid you're gonna die? No. I just don't really like getting talked down to the moment I walk into the airport. Let's pull it back, TSA. Let's pull it back one notch. You walk in, they just your shoes have to be off. Your shoes have to be off, and they have to go on the belt. Take your belt off. Do you have a belt on? Well, then that comes off. You're talking down to me? This is like one of the only places I walk into, look around, and immediately assume that if I wanted to, I could just be the manager. You know what I mean? Like, I'm one application away from just owning whatever this is. And you're talking down to me. Get your belt off. Do you have anything in your pockets? No, you can put your ID away. You don't have to show that anymore. They honestly think that we're going, when can I show my ID again? When can I get this out again? You can put it away. You don't need your ID. Get everything out of your pockets. Put it in the smaller tub. If you have stuff in there, go ahead and smaller tub. Get your computer out. Your computer cannot be touching socks when it goes through that. It has to be in its own tub. Duh. Duh. We all know that. Computers can't touch socks when they go through whatever that is. Know that kind of stuff. Duh. Get it out. Yes, get it in a separate bin. Put it through. Now put it on there. Now put your shoes on there. No, shoes can't go by themselves. No, right there. Now grab the flag. Give it to your dad. Tell him what they've won. Huffy bicycles. British Knights! Texas Instruments! Why you got the dad at the end in Double Dare? You go with the youngest. Dad doesn't care at the end. He's barely moving. He was out of shape when you got there. He's not winning a bicycle. You get the... Scotty, get up there. You're last. Dive at the end if you have to. Double Dare. I like Storage Wars. I'm more into Storage Wars. I hope he has something on Storage Wars. Turns out I do. Here it is. You watch that show? You watch Storage Wars? You watch it like, that's your life? That's your life? You go to a storage facility, someone opens a door, I don't know, 1,000? I just see all the boxes. I don't know. Oh. Just say, that's what I do. Turns out the unit was worth $1,500. $500. Ooh. That's how you know the U.S. government is now involved in television production. They're like, hey, make some shows where they think $200 is cool. Yeah.
No, no, the economy's not doing well. Make them think $200 is sweet. Used to be, who wants to be a millionaire? Nope, $100. $100, oh, okay. Okay, we are sitting pretty. Yeah, $100. They opened up the door. I look in the back corner, I'm like, that's a gumball machine. David, that's a gumball machine back there. Hey, get over here, David. It's a gumball machine, or it's some kind of weird aquarium for gumballs. Okay? Come on, Dave. I yelled out. I said 100. I'm going 100. Turns out that thing was worth $138. $38. Yeah. You watch it, and you're like, geez, that's your life? And then you take one step back, and you're like, oh my God, I'm watching your life. Who am I?
This is fun, man. It is a tense time in America, though. It's very... You know what sucks about right now in America? If we can articulate any... For me, that the worst part... We all feel like we have to be political, right? Because of all the crazy things that are happening, we all feel like we have to have an opinion on politics. Like, you have to have an opinion. I have to have an opinion. All three of the Baja men have to have an opinion. I don't go to a Baja men concert to hear their opinions on infrastructure. I go to a Baja men concert to play an $85 prank on my girlfriend. I want to see the look on her face when I fake propose during their cover of Red Red Wine. That's it. I want to get down on one knee, see the horror in her eyes, and then have some fun. But now I got to listen to their leader, Steve Baja. I assume that's his name. Steven Baja. Come out and go, the real question is not who let the dogs out. The question is, what senator do we call to get these dogs back in? This is a bipartisan issue. Dogs are loose. Sucks, man. We don't all... Look, let's talk. We don't all deserve an opinion. Some of y'all don't deserve an opinion on politics. You don't. I don't. I know that for sure. I do. Look, this is true. I spent most of my day today watching a marathon of Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta. Do y'all know that show? It's fantastic. If you don't, some of y'all may not watch Say Yes to the Dress. That's fine. If you don't know the show, all you need to, here's what it is. It's a reality show where women try on wedding gowns. That's the whole premise, right? But here's the fun part. It's in the South. Right? So it's these frumpy Southern women, just these diabetic debutantes. They walk into this dress shop and they wipe the Frito pie off of their faces, just the crumbs out of the corner of their mouth, and then they try on wedding gowns in front of a gay man named Monty. That's the whole show. It's just them going, ooh, Monty, ooh, I don't know, ooh. I can't wear sheer. I won't get into heaven. That's the devil's fabric, Monty. You ain't got no good Christian burlap. They say that, and then Monty always says some real funny gay shit back. You know what I mean? Like, real funny gay shit. Like, they'll be like, ooh, I won't get into heaven. And then Monty's like, heaven? Honey, I'm trying to get you in a size 8. You just laugh, because it's true, she should go up a size. I watched that for 3 hours today. 3 hours of Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta. At one point in the marathon, this is true, I was watching the marathon, and at one point in the show that I was watching, this woman, she decided she was going to pick out her own dress. Which, if you watch the show, you know is very taboo. That's a huge no-no. That is not... She is behaving like a Crip at a Bloods bar mitzvah. Do you know what I mean? just inappropriate. But she picked out her own dress. She wasn't going to listen to Monty. And as she put the dress on, as she started to get dressed, I said this out loud to no one. I was by myself. There was no one around me. I was alone in the hotel. As she put the dress on, I went, oh, honey, no. Honey, no. A pleated A-line, no. This is your wedding day, not the Sadie Hawkins dance. I said that out loud. You know what I mean? And then I had to face myself. I had to deal with the fact that that came out of me as a person. And this isn't the man I planned to be. This isn't what I wanted for myself. This isn't how I thought I would grow up to be. You know what I mean? But then like 5 seconds later, Monty said the exact same thing. You understand? At the root of me, I'm a sassy bitch. That's who I am. I'm a very sassy person. But that doesn't mean I should be allowed to talk about politics. I shouldn't have an opinion on none of this shit. I shouldn't even be allowed to vote unless we're voting on which one of these politicians is starting to look a hot little mess. You know what I mean? Talking to you, Alabama Senator Richard Shelby. Starting to get a little thick in the hips. Maybe you should stop being so conservative with politics and start being more conservative with bread. It's showing.
That was Rory Scovel and Langston Kerman. They're both going to be at Clusterfest. I just saw that Chelsea Peretti is also going to be at Clusterfest.
I just saw that too.
Love huge fans.
Them. I love Chelsea Peretti. Her podcast.
What's her podcast?
Called Chelsea Peretti. It was like from 2008, 2000. It was, I don't even know.
2008, babe. 2015.
Babe.
Okay.
I'm going to get everyone in here saying babe.
I was born 2 years ago. So everything before then, it just all blends together for me. I'm really sorry. But her podcast is really, I listened to, there's this one episode called Silverfish Dementia.
Yeah.
And I listen to that episode maybe once a week or what? Twice a week.
Can you like explain it? Silverfish
she
Dementia?
She just opens the, it's just her talking into a microphone and she occasionally will call callers and just like, shit on them and make fun of them. It's very funny, but people just love calling in for that.
Sure.
But when she's not taking calls, she kind of just like goes on a little spiral. And that Silverfish one opens with her just being like talking about this, talking about murder, talking about puppies, and then she starts talking about silverfish and how there's silverfish in her apartment. She just starts screaming about silverfish and how scary they are and how many legs they have and how fast they are.
What is that? It's a bug?
It's like it's some kind of bug. Yeah, I can't look it up because I'm so scared about it. But it's so funny. It's just
it's just her.
Yeah, it's just her.
Is Jordan Peele ever on it?
No, but she does talk about a unnamed boyfriend or lover or a guy that she started dating.
Exactly.
In 2015, they only started dating?
I think it was like 2013.
Wow. Could you imagine your husband was Jordan Peele?
No.
No, that'd be so sick.
Like his mind, you know? Key and Peele. I don't know if we've spoken about this, but we have? Because I just think it's the best sketch show of all time.
It's so good.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
We can listen to some Key and Peele.
I would love to listen to Key and Peele. If you can find the Mama rap song, it's just something that I laugh like as loud as you can when I see it.
Well, let's do a sketch themed episode coming up.
Yes,
we'll do one later. Yeah.
Here's a thing that I'm insecure about.
What?
I feel like, you know, I'm a comedian, a professional comedian. Yeah. I don't know how to write a sketch.
Really?
I never have. And I've never taken a class. And it's intimidating when someone's like, hey, do you want to write something for me? Because I feel like I can only write for myself. Like I don't, I've never done a sketch. And I've never really, like I improv a lot on stage.
Yeah.
But I've never like done an improv show. Sometimes I feel not as well-rounded of a comedian as I should. I don't know if that's just in my head, but it might not be because I actually don't have the skill. Like, I should be able, like, if I'm being 100% honest with both of you ladies right now, if you ask me to sit down and write a sketch, not only would I not know how to do it, I wouldn't even know how to format it. Like, I don't have like, Final Draft even on my computer. Like, I never write anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I'm creating a show, I create it, like I write the pitch and then we sell it. And then like the writer comes in and like we collaborate and write. Like it's all my ideas.
Right,
but as far as the writing of it and the formatting of it, I've never done that in my life. And I feel like really weird about it.
It's probably worth learning how to do that.
Yeah, it's not worth it. It's a necessity.
Yeah,
actually.
Like as a desert island apocalypse skill, you're going to need final draft.
Yeah, because it's also like, you know, I don't always want to have to rely on anybody else to help me write something. It's like I have ideas.
Yeah.
I always have to like, you know, collaborate with someone because I don't have the...
software.
Final draft is expensive also, though. So you have to get a student ID, and then it's a lot cheaper. That's what I did.
This thing happens to me where people tell me, my peers, are like, oh, my God, you work so hard. But I don't feel like I work hard at all. Like, I actually feel like I'm still, like, when is the jig going to be up? Because it's like I'm getting opportunity after opportunity, but I'm sitting in my apartment all day doing nothing. If I have nothing to do, like, on my phone aimlessly, no work.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going on stage. And it's like I'm coming up with new material, but it's like how good, like it could be so much better if I was focused on it. So
how
I have like this thing.
How many like hours a day would you say you're like putting in work or like working towards something? Do you know?
It depends. Like today.
Yeah.
I would like today I have our podcast and then I have three shows tonight. So like tomorrow I'll say, oh, I worked yesterday. But like another comedian would say, yeah, you did the podcast and you did jokes, but if you didn't write, then you didn't work.
So I want to let you off the hook a little bit for this because I completely hear what you're saying. And I think, well, first of all, imposter syndrome is something that we all deal with. And I think...
What's it called?
Imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome.
Where you feel like you didn't sort of earn what you have and that at any given moment, someone's going to expose you for being a fraud.
Being a fraud.
So that's something everyone deals with. I think that you... Being well-rounded is a skill, but it's not a skill you necessarily need to have.
Right.
I also think you wouldn't have that concern like 10 years ago, but now everyone seems to be doing like a lot of things.
But I also want to say, and I think like this applies to literally everybody about something, like it's never too late to learn.
Right.
Just because you've gotten this far and you've had this much success without knowing these skills doesn't mean that you don't need them.
Yeah.
So I would still encourage you to like even... I mean, you probably wouldn't take like a Sketch 101 class, but maybe sit down with someone who knows that stuff. Like,
fucking Michael Che, the head writer of SNL, has offered me. I mean, we're good friends. I've mentioned this to him over the course of the last 5 years. He's been like, why don't you just come over one day?
Yeah.
And like, we'll chill in my apartment and drink and we'll write a sketch.
And I understand why you haven't done that, but you 100% should.
Yeah.
You 100% should.
I know. Because it's like all my peers, I mean, you know, I'm at a point now where all my peers are successful. So it's like they all have these skills.
Yeah. Well, you know? They do and they don't. I mean, people have different skills.
Everyone's just kind of faking it also.
I think the thing that concerns me is like about my own kind of psychosis is like people tell me, like they go out of their way at times to tell me how hard they think I work. And it's like, what are you talking? Like, so it's a little like, they're like, I don't know how you do all this, man. You're working hard. And I'm like, but I'm not. So it's a weird thing. But
Chris, it's also like there's a lot that goes into that. Like I would attribute a lot of that to like unconscious bias. Like you're sort of like a built white man. Like you, there's certain things that people, like even there are people that work so hard, but that just don't, people don't perceive them as working hard. Like someone's perception of you isn't necessarily parallel to reality.
It's true.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever feel that way? Well, like you're not working hard?
There's two things I keep on learning again and again professionally that are just so true. One is that nobody knows what they're doing. Ever.
Good call.
Literally nobody. Ask anyone. I mean, usually the example like the president, but literally the president doesn't know what he's doing. But in general, anyone. Right. No one knows what they're doing. Everyone's making it up as they go along. There's no right way to do anything. That's number one. Number two is that everyone is a creep.
Right.
A creep?
Yeah. Well, all men.
Yes.
Like no exceptions.
Yes.
All women.
Across the board.
Right.
Everyone's a creep.
Everyone's a creep.
So those are the two things I keep learning again and again in my career.
Okay.
Everyone is faking it. Yeah.
I'm a creep. And I'm a creep that voted for Hillary.
You work hard, but you are also a creep.
I'm a hardworking creep.
Hardworking creep.
No matter
what. That's what matters.
Just Chrissy Creeps.
All right.
Was that 10 minutes? Did we?
I think that was like 10 minutes.
That was like a 10. I know we went.
Do you want to talk a little
all over
about
the map today?
Whitney Cummings or Langston Kerman?
Langston Kerman, I met for the first time when we did Stupid Questions together. That's out.
He's so cute and so smart.
Langston
so
Kerman
funny.
Is cute.
He's
Langston Kerman. Let me tell you about Langston Kerman. Langston Kerman is the kind of guy where if there was like, you know, who knows where science is going to go? If you were able to implant, a uterus and eggs into my body, I would pick Langston Kerman. He would be at the very top of my list to receive his sperm, and I would give birth to our babies.
That would be a really cute baby.
Do you know what
She's
I heard?
So nice. Yeah.
Do you know what I heard?
Yeah. What? No, I don't.
I think that they're actually working towards science. This is fucking nuts. Anyway.
Science
I'm about to tell you.
Corner.
Ready for this?
Yeah.
Chrissy chemistry.
Breaking news.
Chrissy chemistry. They're working towards science. Okay. That right now it's only available for a lesbian couple. So
what is?
Okay.
Scissoring.
Scissoring. Let's say you and wifey. Let's say you and it's not available yet.
Okay.
But they think they may have done it in China already. You never know with the Chinese. Let me tell you.
What's happening? What's gonna happen?
Let me tell you.
Chinese.
If you and wifey want to have a baby, let's say you want to carry the baby. They are working towards science where they can take, you are carrying the baby, but they can take pieces, parts of your wifey's egg and somehow make
merge
sperm out of her DNA.
What?
And so you can have a baby that's 100, that's 50-50 your DNA, like anybody else, like a man and woman would. You don't need the man. They can make sperm out of a woman's egg.
Dude,
they're working on it.
That's bad news for you if they don't, if for men in general, if they don't need sperm anymore.
I know.
That's kind of,
it's getting
that's your main
kind of
game.
End of days type shit, what's going on. But.
Yeah, men have it really hard right now. Sorry, men.
Oh my God, Nicole, if you and I were a couple, our couple name would be, I'm wearing a David Bowie shirt. So Nicole Boyce and Chloe.
Bowie.
Yo.
Bowie.
That's, and then we could have a baby in China in 5 years.
Yeah.
Name of David Bowie.
Take part. Who would carry? Nicole or Chloe?
I don't know if I have the hips for it.
It's both your DNA, but who right now have to pick? Gun to your head. Stupid questions.
You.
Chloe would do it.
Oh, Chloe, thanks.
Well, I mean, I tend to be in a relationship eventually where that's not an option, where we both can't carry the child. So I assume one day I will.
You would like to be inseminated by a man.
Yeah. Well,
eventually. By a husband.
Put it out into the
that
world.
That is so romantic when you say it like that.
I would like to.
I'm all about science.
Shout out to Mrs. DeStefano.
Yes.
That's crazy that straight people just get pregnant. I think that's fucking wild. That's so,
what do you mean?
That sucks.
Like
you guys, when you guys have sex, do you worry about getting pregnant?
To be honest with you, I used to have that caveman ego, man mind where it's like, you know, if a woman had kids or had abortions, it's like, you know, like shame on you, whatever, like that stupid stuff, right? And then when I was in a situation with my daughter's mom who had a child from a previous relationship, you know, I kept thinking about like, She had sex with an ex and got pregnant and now has this child, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what I'm saying is like, anybody now, because of the situation I was in, who says, like, it's not a woman's choice, I am so on the side of pro-choice, where it's like, it's your fucking body. Because it's like, we don't have the consequence. We just don't. We can just do it and leave.
That's very true.
You have the consequence.
You
have to deal with the abortion.
I think it's so crazy.
You have to deal with the child. Like, a good guy, of course, would stay around. But I'm just saying, like, you know, again, it's very easy, the neighborhood in Brooklyn that I'm from, to get stuck in small-minded bullshit. Like, a lot of my friends are small-minded because they haven't seen the world. They haven't developed. They haven't done anything. That's why I think travel is so important, because it gives you these point of views that you're not going to get at some backwoods neighborhood in Brooklyn. You're just going to be like, you know, I vote Republican and I fucking bang chicks. Like, it's stupid. I look at my friends and I'm like, you're not evolved. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm. No, but you know what? That's true. I vote Republican and I bang chicks, like, is an ideology that I think a lot of people subscribe to.
Yeah, it's like bro Bible stuff. Like, I'm Republican, I bang chicks. Like, you know, that's what it is. So it's like, listen, I'm not Republican, I bang chicks. I like women. But I have slowed it down big time with women. Like, big time. Chrissy,
slow down. You're just
Republican.
My mother got through to me.
Don't bang chicks.
No, my mother got through to me in the sense she was like, you know, you can't just keep having women in and out. You can't do that anymore. And I'm like, I get what you mean, but it's like, it's true. It's like, what am I doing here? There's a little bit of manic. It was a little bit of manic energy for a little while with these women.
Mm-hmm.
You want a quick confession, Chrissy confessions?
Yeah.
I don't know if I said this already, but I had to learn. I had to accept that for a long time, me and my kid's mom have been broken up for 2 years. And I was always like, I always wanted to break up with her because I was like, we had a kid really quickly. And I was like, you know, we're only each other's lives for the kid and blah, 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 blah. But I had to really actually look in the mirror and accept the fact that I really was in love with her.
Heartbroken.
I was in love with Jasmine. Like, I really was. Even though we had a child and I would always say like, oh, I only love her because of the kid. It was beyond that. It was like, I loved her as a person and I never dealt with that. And so I was just having sex with all these women, filling holes. I don't care.
Chrissy compartmentalization.
Chrissy compartmentalization.
Yeah.
Compartmentalization. So I did that. And I was like, and then I had to just accept, like, I just had to deal with the pain of being alone. Her moving on, she has another boyfriend. I had to deal with all that and just be like, this really hurts me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. But now that I know that and I'm aware, now it's like if a woman DMs me, like just looking to have sex, I'm really not interested. Where I used to be very interested because I was like, I don't want to be alone. So this woman is offering to come to my, I mean, it's crazy sometimes what happens, like in that DM where they're like, hey, just started following you. I want to fuck you. What's your address? Like, it, I swear to God.
Oh my God.
A lot that happens. And it's very easy to.
And what percentage of the time are you like, okay, here's my address?
When, like, last year, like 95, you know, like,
oh my God.
Like it was almost like if
what,
you.
What was the 5% that you said no?
Men.
Yeah, when I was like, this girl's so hot, like I, yeah, it's like, it has to be a guy. But I had to deal with all that. Yeah. I don't know how we got into this, but.
That's a beautiful confession to end
you know
on,
that
I think. A real heartwarming.
Oh, we got into it because I said, now I'm different with women. Like right now, I don't need a woman, where I used to need them, where I was like, and I didn't realize it. And I was still being like, I don't like you. Jazz, we're co-parents. It's like, no, I was in love with you and now I'm heartbroken and devastated, but now I'm over it.
Well, some of us, maybe it's hard to say who, tried to set you up with our beautiful best friend.
Yes.
And then you just kind of, you just sort of.
I know, it was hashtag.
You faded into the woodwork.
It was hashtag bad timing. It was hashtag bad timing.
And now she lives in LA, so.
Well, now it's even hashtag worst timing.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out Amy.
I know it didn't work out. But, you know, what are you going to do? You live and you learn. Nicole, you'll go through it all.
Thank you. I know. It's fun to hear about the world from you guys and what's going to happen.
All right. Whitney Cummings.
Yeah, Whitney Cummings.
Speaking of cum.
From I Love You.
Yeah.
Playing now.
Bang.
All right.
Bang.
Bang.
Bong, bong.
And with that, bong, bang.
Bong. Bye.
I used to be very against porn, you know? I thought it was bad for women and, like, you know, degrading and shit. But now I kind of like it. Because, you know why? Because I watched it. And when I watched it, I learned so much stuff that I had to be kind of grateful for it. Like, I learned watching porn that the girls in porn, they'll request to the man where they want him to finish, which I didn't know that was an option. Okay, nobody told me that we had a vote in that. I've just been taking whatever shots have been coming at me since 1998. I don't know. I feel like I've been storming the shores of Normandy. That's a history joke. I don't know. Now that I know that's an option to request where you want the man to finish, I'm ready, man. I've got some ideas. I'm gonna be like, yeah, I really want you to come in the bathroom. You just wanna time that out, whatever you gotta do to just. In the sink. I feel like the big one though, the big one in porn is the coming on the face. That's the big one, right? Yeah. Let's talk about it. Like, I feel like as a society, we kind of need to discuss why we like this so much, you know? And why you guys think that we, like, love it. Like, who told you that we, like, need it? No, nobody ever wants this to happen to them. If a girl asks you to come on her face, it's because she thinks you're gonna break up with her. Always buys you at least another month or so. My problem with it is, like, the second it's over. You know, I try to be fun. You know, while it's happening, I can get into it, you know? Because while it's happening, you can be like, yeah, 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 ooh, yeah, look at us, yeah. Hit me, yeah. Ooh, yeah, we are so crazy. We are wild and crazy. Can I get, like, a towel or something? Or maybe, like, a baby wipe or some, like, or maybe, like, a pickaxe, because now it's turned to stone. I can't open my fucking eyes. And he's not gonna help you. He's too busy taking photos to send his friends. You guys are animals. But I get why guys watch porn. I get it now because it's so obvious. It's just that naked women are hot. All naked women are hot. You know, there's so much to look at. Yeah, it's disgusting of you. You're with a date, man. That's going to be a fight. But all right, all boobs and butt, they all look amazing. You know, that's why you guys watch porn. Girls don't watch porn as much because naked guys, ugh. Such a bummer, you know? It's just such a, this whole Wes Craven situation you got going on is just disgusting, you know? It's a lot to take. Because, like, when a dick comes on the screen, we're not like, yeah, look at that dick. Yeah, I want that dick. No, when a dick comes on the screen, we're like, oh, there's a dick. What's it doing? What's the dick doing? Does it see me? Does the dick see me? Like, there's just nothing attractive about it, you know? Like, dicks are so ugly that the second you guys are born, someone has to cut some of it off to make it even somewhat presentable to society.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.